Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
I've got this feeling.
Keeping it relevant.
It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
We are, from what I can tell, moments away from hearing from the Supreme Court. We've got the Supreme Court of the United States blog open. And waiting to see if they issue this final decision on the Dobbs case. I'll tell you a little bit about that case in a minute. Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. We are expecting that ruling today. And as one legal analysis of this says, if Justice Alito's draft opinion, which was leaked earlier, is indicative of the court's final ruling, it would effectively strike down Roe versus Wade, which protects a woman's quote-unquote right to an abortion in the first 24 weeks. The reason I say quote-unquote is because no one has the right to take the life of an innocent person. You don't have that right. And life starts at conception. And so that's an innocent life from the moment of conception. And since no one has the right to take the life of an innocent person, there is no such thing in reality as a woman's right to choose an abortion, even though that's what it is on the books. There used to be rights for white people to own black people as slaves. Did you know that? So that's also not an actual right, even though it was enshrined indirectly in the Constitution in its original form. And other bad Supreme Court decisions, including the Dred Scott decision, among others, were upholding a non-existent right under the guise of it being legal and constitutional in this country. So this is something similar to that, but even worse. So it says that this would make this issue now revert to the states, 26 of which have statutes banning or severely restricting abortion, slightly the majority. I want to share with you, and Cyrus, while I'm doing this, since I know you're also keeping an eye on this blog, feel free to interrupt me, okay, as we get going. Feel free to jump in and interrupt me if we have some information coming from the Supreme Court. I want to give you a timeline.
You can count on me.
Yes, I know I can. Thank you. I appreciate that. There is a book that I purchased, earlier this year, and I found it very helpful in understanding the bigger picture. It's called Abortion and the Law in America, Roe versus Wade to the Present, by a legal scholar by the name of Mary Ziegler. And it's a very dense and deep book because it gets into all of the pertinent legal and judicial aspects of Roe versus Wade going forward. But what I'd like to do is to share with you a timeline that she gives in this book that kind of traces the path of where we started and where we are today, perhaps at the end of the road, please God, for Roe versus Wade. So this is from Mary Ziegler in her book, Abortion and the Law in America, Roe versus Wade to the Present. So 1973, the Supreme Court decides Roe versus Wade. National Right to Life Committee, NRLC, is formally incorporated as an independent organization. 1975, Dr. Kenneth Edlin is convicted of manslaughter for performing an abortion. 1976, Congress passes the Hyde Amendment, a federal ban on Medicaid funding for abortion. The Supreme Court decides Planned Parenthood of Central Missouri versus Danforth, striking down several parts of a Missouri law, but upholding an informed consent restriction. 1977, the Supreme Court rejects challenges to state and local laws prohibiting the use of public dollars or facilities in Marr versus Roe and companion cases. 1980, Ronald Reagan, the first strongly anti-abortion, and by the way, she uses the word anti-abortion. I don't. I use the word pro-life, but I'm going to read it as she wrote it. I'm not going to change her language to suit my own preferences. Ronald Reagan, the first strongly anti-abortion presidential candidate, wins the race for the White House. In Harris versus McRae, the Supreme Court upholds the Hyde Amendment. 1982. The Army of God, a pro-violence, anti-abortion group, kidnaps Dr. Hector Zavalis and his wife. 1983, in City of Akron versus Akron Center for Reproductive Health, the court strikes down an Akron model law. Sandra Day O'Connor's dissent increases pro-life interest in the Supreme Court nomination process. The Hatch-Eagleton Amendment, which would have declared that the Constitution recognized no abortion rights, fails in the Senate vote. 1985, The Silent Scream, an anti-abortion film, draws new attention to claims about fetal pain. 1986, by a 5-4 margin in Thornburg versus American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the Supreme Court strikes down a Pennsylvania abortion regulation. 1987, Judge Robert Bork's Supreme Court nomination fails in Congress. 1988, Anthony Kennedy, presumed to hold the vote that would overturn Roe, joins the Supreme Court. 1989, in Webster versus Reproductive Health Services, the court upholds a Missouri law and criticizes Roe's trimester framework. Operation Rescue announces itself on the national stage by holding major blockades in cities across the country. 1990, in Hodgson versus Minnesota and Ohio versus Akron Center for Reproductive Health, the court upholds a pair of parental involvement laws. 1992, in Planned Parenthood of Southeastern Pennsylvania versus Casey, the court retains the essential holding of Roe but rejects the trimester framework in favor of a new undue burden standard. Bill Clinton becomes the first strong supporter of abortion rights elected president since 1973. 1993, debate begins about whether Clinton's proposed health care reform will include abortion coverage. In Bray versus Alexandria Women's Health Clinic, the Supreme Court holds that anti-abortion blockades do not violate a federal civil rights statute or constitute a conspiracy against women. Dr. David Gunn becomes the first abortion provider murdered by anti-abortion extremists. 1994, in Madison versus Women's Health Center, Inc., the Supreme Court rejects parts of a free speech challenge to a court injunction limiting protests outside an abortion clinic. In the first round of litigation in National Organization of Women versus Scheidler, the court allows a lawsuit against clinic blockaders to proceed. Republicans take control of the House of Representatives for the first time since 1952. 1995. Congress first debates a law outlawing dilation and extraction, a procedure that pro-lifers call partial birth abortion. 1997, Sister Song Women of Color Reproductive Justice Collective forms. In Schenck versus Pro-Choice Network of Western New York, the Supreme Court strikes down parts of an injunction creating buffer zones around abortion clinics while upholding others. 1998, an effort to impeach President Bill Clinton for perjury and obstruction of justice falls short. 2000, in Stenberg versus Carhart, the court strikes down a Nebraska law said to ban partial birth abortion. In Bush versus Gore, the court stops a manual recount of the deciding state of Florida, ensuring the victory of Republican George W. Bush. Norma McCorvey, the Roe in Roe versus Wade, and Sandra Cano, the Doe in Doe versus Bolton, file amicus curiae briefs in a wrongful death action filed by attorney Harold Cassidy based on the death of an unborn child. 2003, Congress passes the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. NARAL renames itself NARAL Pro-Choice America. 2006, in Scheidler versus National Organization for Women, the court holds 8-0 that the Hobbs Act does not cover violence unrelated to robbery or extortion. The court also holds that RICO did not apply to blockaders' actions. 2007, in Gonzalez versus Carhart, the court upholds the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act. 2008, the first of many state personhood amendments banning abortion appears on the ballot in Colorado. The proposal ultimately fails. 2009, right-wing protesters identifying with the Tea Party hold rallies across the country. The circulation of the Manhattan Declaration, a call of Christian conscience, increases the visibility of anti-abortion arguments based on religious conscience. 2010, Nebraska becomes the first state to pass a fetal pain law banning abortion at 20 weeks. 2011, states enact a record number of abortion restrictions. 2015, the Center for Medical Progress, an anti-abortion group, releases videos that claim to show Planned Parenthood selling fetal tissue for a profit. I'm going to pause there. It doesn't claim to show it. It shows it. In 2016, in Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt, the court strikes down a Texas law reasoning that Casey's undue burden standard requires a balance of the benefits and burdens of abortion regulations. Donald J. Trump becomes the 45th president of the United States. 2019, after Trump nominates two justices to the Supreme Court, an unprecedented number of states pass heartbeat bans, which outlaw abortion after the sixth week of pregnancy, often without exceptions for rape and incest. Georgia's law recognizes fetal personhood. Alabama passes a law criminalizing all abortions unless a woman's life is at risk. New York, Vermont, Illinois, and other pro-choice states liberalize their laws on abortion, anticipating the reversal of Roe versus Wade. Now, that is, again, from Mary Ziegler's book called Abortion and the Law in America, Roe versus Wade to the Present. Very instructive book. And Cyrus, I think we are seeing something happening.
Yep, I was
now.
Just going to say, Glenn is flagging me down. So let's go to Glenn Leverenz.
Let's bring Glenn Leverenz on. Glenn, big day today. Let's get caught up.
Yeah, big day. A lot of news from the Supreme Court. Patrick, news that Roe and Casey are overruled in the latest ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court dealing with Roe v. Wade. The ruling has just been issued. Multiple pages long here. Haven't read that yet, but we'll have much more in literal seconds here. But just wanted to make you guys aware, as presumed, as tipped off by that leak several weeks back, it looks like Roe v. Wade is done.
You know, I've been saying for years now, as have many other people, I hope I live to see the day when that would be overturned. I didn't think it would happen this soon, but I am happy that this is happening today.
That's right. Many states, it'll kick in immediately in many states, soon in other states as well. And by the time it shakes out, looks to be about half the states in the U.S. will prohibit abortion. Half will still see it legal, including many of the large coastal states where a lot of the protest will be. Ironically, abortion will still be legal there.
Yes, indeed. Now, I don't think there's any coincidence that this ruling is being issued that is finishing off, finally, overturning effectively Roe versus Wade. It's happening on the Sacred Heart of Jesus feast day. Today is the Sacred Heart of Jesus feast day. And I see really deep meaning and connection in that. We can thank the Lord for this. Now, of course, this does not mean that everything becomes wonderful and suddenly peaceful. If anything, we have the likelihood of violence in some sectors. We don't want to dwell on that. I don't want to hype it, but I do want to at least make you aware of the possibility of this happening. Cyrus, you were noticing some things trending on Twitter as well. What are you seeing there?
Well, I was just going through the ruling, and one of the things that caught my eye on page 5 is the nature of the court's error. And it says, like the infamous decision of Plessy versus Ferguson, Roe was also egregiously wrong and on a collision course with the Constitution from the day it was decided.
Yes.
Pretty strong language there. So there's so much to dissect here. We've just scratched the surface.
Yeah, and on Twitter, I think the Night of Rage is trending right now.
Oh, yes, that's what you meant. Yes, the Night of Rage is. So I'm jumping from site to site here, and you had mentioned the Night of Rage earlier in the show, and so I just want to let you know that that's it's scary, but that's trending.
Yeah, it is trending. So I'm just taking a look at what I'm seeing here. Yeah, so hashtag Night of Rage is, if you want to follow this on social media, this is what you're going to see. Antifa, all the usual suspects, Jane sent us, and various other groups, they are saying on social media that they are planning to do this. So I want to share a little bit of this manifesto that I had talked about earlier about what they're saying that they intend to do during this. It looks like we have some time to do that. And thanks for standing by, Glenn, because as this develops, I'm going to ask you to share more with us as you have more information.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. So this is from the Anarchist Library. It's online. We'll send a link to it. We'll put a link to it, rather, on the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. This is the template that has been circulating all around the country for weeks and weeks now. It's called Night of Rage, an autonomous call to action against patriarchal supremacy. And I'm just going to read it. Within the month, we anticipate a verdict that will be issued that overturns Roe versus Wade. This happened today. It happened just now. Setting in motion an evisceration of abortion access across the so-called United States. This is an event that should inspire rage in millions of people who can get pregnant. And yet, the response thus far has been tepid. We have agonized over this apparent absence of indignation. Why is it that we are so afraid to unleash hell upon those who are destroying us? Fear of state repression is valid, but this goes deeper than that. So they talk a little bit about why you're supposed to feel certain ferocious emotions. You should be angry, you know, all of those things. It says that we need to make them afraid of us. And it goes through a section about sort of like a radical feminist manifesto. And then they get to the steps that they propose for people. Whatever form your fury takes, they say, the first step is feeling it. The next step is carrying that anger out into the world and expressing it physically. They say this is your call to action. On the night the final ruling is issued, that's today. A specific date we cannot yet predict, it's today. We're asking for courageous hearts to come out after dark. And it has a list of things that they are asking people to do by way of violence and vandalism, etc. So I'm not going to read the whole thing to you only because obviously I strongly disagree with what they're proposing here, but it's important. Just like the Diocese of Stockton felt it was important to issue that urgent memo to all the parishes in the diocese because they have been alerted by Homeland Security about potential dangers in this regard. So we'll have the link to this from the Anarchist Library on the show page. It's relevantradio.com/Patrick. You can also find it on our Twitter feed, which is at P Madrid Show. But make yourself familiar with it. Glenn, any further developments we need to turn to before we have a break coming up here?
Well, just basically the latest court overturning Roe v. Wade, considering that Mississippi case, the Dobbs case we've talked about, Justice Samuel Alito delivered the majority opinion. It was 6-3 with all the conservative or sort of conservative justices voting to end Roe v. Wade. This coming, of course, after that leak several weeks back. Alito as well wrote the authority to regulate abortion being returned to the people and their elected representatives, which means it goes back to the states. And as we've said, it's about a 50-50 split around the country between states where it ultimately will be still illegal and still legal, we should say, in the others as well.
Right, right. Dan, thank you very much. Let me share with you a little bit of background here. This is, let me go back to it here. This is from CNET. It gives an overview of this Dobbs versus Jackson ruling. What is Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization? So this is the essence of what was just overturned, which has the effect of overturning Roe versus Wade. Here's the description in this article. The U.S. Supreme Court is going to issue, they did so today just now, a landmark ruling in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, a case that could end federal protections for abortion, which it just did. In May, a leaked draft of a majority opinion in Dobbs versus Jackson suggested the court intends to overturn Roe versus Wade, the 1973 decision establishing the constitutional right to an abortion. Dobbs versus Jackson addresses a 2018 Mississippi law banning abortion after 15 weeks, much earlier than the timeline established by Roe and later cases. In the draft opinion, which is now the official opinion that was handed down just now, Associate Justice Samuel Alito wrote that Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. But what exactly did the Supreme Court say in Roe versus Wade? What constitutional principles did the justices rely on? And what was the state of reproductive rights before Roe was decided? So the current Supreme Court case that we're talking about today, in March 2018, the Mississippi legislature passed HB 1510, the Gestational Age Act, which banned abortion after the first 15 weeks. There are exceptions for a medical emergency or severe fetal abnormality, but not for cases of rape or incest. Republican Governor Phil Bryant signed the bill on March 19, 2018. Jackson Women's Health Organization quickly challenged the law. And in November 2018, the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Mississippi ruled in the clinic's favor. In December 2019, the Fifth Circuit Court unanimously upheld the lower court's decision. Mississippi appealed the ruling to the Supreme Court in October 2021, and justices heard oral arguments in Dobbs versus Jackson. I'm going to shorten it to Dobbs versus Jackson in December of last year. The court is expected to deliver its ruling, and it did so today. If Justice Alito's draft opinion is indicative of the court's final ruling, which it is, it effectively strikes down Roe, which protects a woman's right to an abortion in the first 24 weeks. In that scenario, regulation would revert to states, to the states, 26 of which have statutes banning or severely restricting abortion. So that's the case that's being ruled on right now. And there's so much to talk about, quite frankly, and it's in a momentous historical day. And you'll tell your grandchildren where you were and what you were doing when you heard the news that this case had been handed down, effectively overturning Roe versus Wade. Let's be prayerful today. Let's be humble. Let's be cautious and, cautiously optimistic. As far as I'm concerned, let's hope and pray that this is the beginning of better things for us. We can certainly use it, don't you think? Let's not gloat. Let's not be triumphalistic or any of those things. Our country has gone through a horrendous period of time since Roe versus Wade, and we ask the Lord to make this the beginning of something better for our country. I certainly pray for that. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Let's take a quick time out, and I'll be right back. Let me ask you, can the Catholic Church have a future if we Catholics don't understand our past? Experience history the way it should be taught in a free online class from Christendom College. Just go to principlesclasses.com.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. This is a big day. If you haven't heard the news, the Dobbs versus Women's Healthcare decision was Jackson Women's Healthcare was rendered today by the Supreme Court, and it effectively overturns Roe versus Wade. So this is the big news of the day. It's an historic day. It's a day that calls for prayer and reflection and patience and calm and gratitude, quite frankly. Today is the feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Big feast day in the life of the church, and it all has to do with the Lord's love for us, his love for you. And so there's much to rejoice in, but it's also a time where we should really be deeply reflective. And to help us reflect on the issues of the day, I've asked Father Rocky to join us. Father, thank you for being available. I realize that you're busy, but thanks for taking time to be on the show with us today.
Hey, it's really great to be on your show. I'm actually, frankly, surprised that the decision was released today, Friday the 24th of June, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I thought it would be next Friday, but this is very good news. This is truly a very historic day, not only for the United States of America, Patrick, but for the entire world, because the entire world is watching what we do in this country. And it's really a huge majority of the Supreme Court justices who have sided with the life of the unborn child. It's 6-3. Now, I was just reading an article in the Wall Street Journal, and they characterize it as a deeply divided court. That simply is not the case.
Right.
A deeply divided court would be 5-4. But this is 6-3, and that's an overwhelming majority of the Supreme Court justices have come down to recognize that in the United States Constitution, there is no constitutional right to abortion. And this is a win for humanity. It's a win for the unborn child. We hope it's a win for families and mothers and fathers. You know, that's going to be a lot of work that we need to do. But here it is on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And people who listen to Relevant Radio know that for the last 400 days or so, we've been praying this nonstop novena for a peaceful end to legal abortion in our country. Mm-hmm. and for an outpouring of support for pregnant mothers, for real change of heart in our country. And for the past 10 years, every hour, we've been praying a memory hour on the air for an end to legal abortion in our country. And so I became persuaded, quite some time ago, that prayer is more powerful than politics. Politics and education is important. It has its place. But at certain times in the history of humanity, we simply need God's help, right? Because we're incapable of remedying. So we say, God, we need your help down here on earth. And for the past couple of weeks, I've also been praying that Our Lady, Mother of the Eucharist, and St. Michael place a protective shield around the Catholic churches in this country this summer, as well as around pregnancy centers, crisis pregnancy centers, because, you know, we have heard about these things of Jane's Revenge or Ruth Sent Us or the Night of Rage. I hope and I think that these are largely overblown. I don't see abortion industry as crucial to our economy as slavery was in the Civil War. That was the entire economy of the South.
Yeah.
So the number of people impacted on this in a way that's going to really affect their lifestyle is relatively few. I think certain media outlets will take advantage of this moment because that's how they make their bread and butter, right? By fanning the flames of discontent and piling it on and misrepresenting the facts. So, but we're praying to Our Lady for this. But I really think today the entire world is watching the United States. China is, Japan is, the Vatican is, France is, South America. Because when the United States sneezes, Europe catches a cold, right? So this is everybody knows in the world right now, because this information travels at the speed of light to 4.8 billion people through the internet. And, we need to thank God for all of this. And I've said for years, you know, America, we're better than this. We're better than this. We can make room for the little baby. We can make room for the struggling people. We can make room for the immigrant. And the struggle to protect life is not over. You know, now it reverts to the states, and you'll see maps out there, the states that have a right to abortion is protected, and you have other states where there will be a ban of abortion. I think in the end, you're going to probably have states that have marijuana and abortion, you have states that don't have marijuana and abortion. But the fact that the highest court in the nation of what is clearly the most powerful country in the world at this moment has decided so decisively, 6-3, is a win for humanity, not just for our country, right? It's a win for the entire human race, because without children, there is no future. Mm-hmm. And it addresses, you know, the fundamental condition of the human person, and that is one of fear. Will God provide or not? Is God good or not? Because we all know, we're hardwired, that we can't keep ourselves in existence, and ultimately we depend on God. And now we're all going to be, you know, challenged to be truly generous with people who are in need. You know, we have to help these young families or these people in these situations. And maybe there'll be a return to, the Catholic orphanages we had in the past. We really gave people a hand. So I know it's been very close to your heart all these years. It's been close to my heart, and I'm very proud of what Relevant Radio has been able to bring to this, which is, kind of a prayerful response, right? Asking God for help.
Yes. What can I add to that? Nothing. Prayer, of course, is more powerful than any human activity, because God, when we involve God, as you were saying, Father, He will help us. He wants to help us. We have to allow Him to help us. You know, I'm reminded, as you were talking about all the prayers that have been said, you know, the countless millions of memoraries that our listeners have prayed along with us in recent years. Mother Teresa said, "America needs no words from me to see how your decision in Roe versus Wade has deformed a great nation. The so-called right to abortion has pitted mothers against their children and women against men. It has sown violence and discord at the heart of the most intimate human relationships. It has aggravated the derogation of the father's role in an increasingly fatherless society." And she goes on in that same vein, just describing the division and the fractiousness that has descended in so many ways upon this country as a result of this. And what a beautiful thing now that in many ways, very unexpectedly, here we are at the threshold of the potential for peace again. And to have these frictions and these divisions healed after so many years, I'm personally very excited about the possibilities for God to work further healings in this country. Boy, do we need it, right?
Oh, we certainly do. We certainly do. And I still think there's a tremendous amount of goodwill in the safe deposit bank of the United States of what we've done over the years to help other countries and help other people. We have civic virtue in this country where we want to help others. Mm-hmm. We give somebody else a hand. We lend a hand. We try not to live behind walls and high security. But it was Mother Teresa who said, if a mother can take the life of her child, what's to keep us from killing each other? And I've seen these outrageous acts of violence like Uvalde recently or Sandy Hook and all that. All of it related to sort of the cosmic effect of not caring for the unborn child, right? Because the devil can get to work, and he gets to work. He stirs up agitation and conflict and violence and hatred because the devil hates the human race. He hates humanity. He hates the unborn child. He hates the Eucharist. He hates all that. And now, you know, we've really invited the Blessed Mother to step into history. That's why I wrote the book a couple of years ago, Mary at the Crossroads of History. We saw mm-hmm. such an unexpected change in Mexico after Our Lady appeared at Guadalupe in 1531. They ceased their long-standing practice of human sacrifice. We saw how the Blessed Mother stepped into world affairs at the Bay of Lepanto in 1571 mm-hmm. and on down through the ages. So today we thank God, but we also pledge ourselves to being generous and helping people and praying for everyone. But you know, this is a great statement. You know, a huge majority of the Supreme Court, 6-3, has said no, there is no constitutional right for abortion.
Right.
And now it goes back to the states, and now we pray that the people in the states come to their senses, right?
Oh,
but
indeed.
I mean, this is a real statement to everybody in America, right? This is not a constitutional right. You cannot kill an unborn child.
Right. You don't have the right to take the life of an innocent person. Absolutely. And you know,
that's
I'm reminded.
Right.
I want to read, Father. Just was handed the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops statement on the U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
Oh,
Dobbs
good.
Versus
what's
Jackson
it say?
Elector. Yeah, I'd like to read that. So this is. It just came out moments ago. In response to the Supreme Court of the United States issuing its ruling in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles, President of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, Chairman of the U.S. Bishops Committee on Pro-Life Activities, issues the following statement. This is an historic day in the life of our country, one that stirs our thoughts, emotions, and prayers. For nearly 50 years, America has enforced an unjust law that has permitted some to decide whether others can live or die. This policy has resulted in the deaths of tens of millions of preborn children, generations that were denied the right to even be born. America was founded on the truth that all men and women are created equal, with God-given rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This truth was grievously denied by the U.S. Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade ruling, which legalized and normalized the taking of innocent human life. We thank God today that the court has now overturned this decision. We pray that our elected officials will now enact laws and policies that promote and protect the most vulnerable among us. Our first thoughts are with the little ones whose lives have been taken since 1973. We mourn their loss and we entrust their souls to God, who loved them from before all ages and who will love them for all eternity. Our hearts are also with every woman and man who has suffered grievously from abortion. We pray for their healing, and we pledge our continued compassion and support. As a church, we need to serve those who face difficult pregnancies and surround them with love. Today's decision is also the fruit of the prayers, sacrifices, and advocacy of countless ordinary Americans from every walk of life. Over these long years, millions of our fellow citizens have worked together peacefully to educate and persuade their neighbors about the injustice of abortion, to offer care and counseling to women, and to work for alternatives to abortion, including adoption, foster care, and public policies that truly support families. We share their joy today, and we are grateful to them. Their work for the cause of life reflects all that is good in our democracy, and the pro-life movement deserves to be numbered among the great movements for social change and civil rights in our nation's history. And here's the conclusion, Father Rocky. Now is the time to begin the work of building a post-Roe America. It is a time for healing wounds and repairing social divisions. It is a time for reasoned reflection and civil dialogue, and for coming together to build a society and economy that supports marriages and families, and where every woman has the support and resources she needs to bring her child into this world in love. As religious leaders, we pledge ourselves to continue our service to God's great plan of love for the human person, and to work with our fellow citizens to fulfill America's promise to guarantee the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all people. And that's the statement from the U.S. Catholic bishops just now.
That's a great statement, and I really applaud Archbishop Gomez for his leadership of the body of bishops in this country, and for Archbishop Lori from Baltimore for his service in that regard. And it's very well written, very well thought out. I hope we can post it on our app and on our website, because I'd like to read it again and reflect on it. Yeah. It was a couple of years ago, I think, under the leadership or presidency of Archbishop Gomez at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, that for the first time ever, our nation's bishops stated that abortion is the preeminent issue of our time. And that very clear statement, I think, got everybody's attention and certainly rallied us to pray more and to be aware of that. And over the course of the years, Patrick, we've had 60 or 70 bishops and cardinals lend their voice on Relevant Radio to pray a memorare, and I know God will richly reward them. Of course, all of our show hosts, too, and guests, and even some kids. And I know when we pray the Family Rosary Across America in the evening and the children call in, they always want to pray for the souls in purgatory. They always want to pray for an end to abortion. I just think the prayers of children are so, so powerful. And, you know, I've been telling the people who join us every night, I'm grateful that they show up. I'm proud of them, that they are making history. And we needed to give that final push, begging God's grace. And, you know, we're hoping that there will be a collective sigh of relief, because Americans are better than this. We can help each other. We can give the weak person a chance. We can give the child an opportunity, right? So that's now, of course, you and Nancy know that. God has blessed you with 11 kids. That takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of sacrifice. But what comes with it is a tremendous amount of joy and peace.
So true. Yeah, especially the peace that comes from knowing that you're saying yes to God's will, even though sometimes it's not easy to do it. It's the right thing to do. Father, I can't think of a better thing for you and me to do right now as we go to the break than to pray a memorare with the whole country right now. Would you lead us in that memorare prayer so we can go to our break?
And we'll offer up this memorare in thanksgiving to God for hearing our prayer, for all the families out there, for all the children, and for peace in our country, that there be a collective sigh of relief, because America, we're better than this. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Pray for us, indeed. Father, if you
truly
can stay,
day.
Please stay. If you can, please stay. I'll be right back, and I'll be taking phone calls right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
Today's an historic day with the end of Roe versus Wade. I can't believe I'm actually saying these words. Roe versus Wade is kaput, done, over. The Supreme Court handed down its decision in the Dobbs case today, and it effectively abolishes Roe versus Wade. It's overturned. Can you believe it? Nearly 50 years and it's finally here. It's hard to imagine, but we're actually dealing with a post-Roe United States. So it was a 6-3 decision, as Father Rocky was pointing out a moment ago. That's an overwhelming majority. It's not a narrowly divided court. It's an overwhelming majority, 6-3. And you could probably guess who the three justices are who voted against this decision. Since 1973, Roe versus Wade has allowed for abortions during the first two trimesters of pregnancy. There is a great division in the states right now, and I guess that's to be expected. You've got some states that are far more liberal and excessive in this area. So California, New York, other states are making themselves bastions of abortion. And 26 of the 50 states have gone the other direction, the correct direction, if you ask me, and have either outlawed altogether abortion in those states or have so severely restricted it as to be effectively outlawed. So as the story unfolds and more information comes out, we're going to keep you closely up to date on this issue. You don't need to go anywhere else. Stay right here with us at Relevant Radio. We're going to cover everything from top to bottom, give you commentary, and take your phone calls. And I invite you to call in if you want to talk about this. Imagine if you were alive when the Emancipation Proclamation was issued by President Lincoln. That was a big deal. Didn't take effect right away, but it was an historic moment. So we're standing on the threshold of something momentous and different, and we're praying to God in humility and patience and calm for the Lord to begin this process of healing this deeply divided country. And you don't need me to describe the division because you know it and you've seen it and you've felt it. But today is not a day for gloating. Today is not a day for triumphalism. A very good and important thing was done today. But we shouldn't gloat. If anything, we should be all the more humble and all the more prayerful, especially with regard to imploring the Lord to bring peace and healing to this country. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Jenny, listening in Texas. Good morning, Jenny. Thanks for calling in today.
Well, thank you, Patrick. Father Rocky, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and I just can't say it enough for the Rosary Across America, Family Rosary Across America, for just bringing us all together to be able to pray together for the end of abortion. And I was just thinking when you announced that it was a 6-3 vote, since we have 3 more days left in our 405 days, Father, maybe we can pray for the conversion of those 3 justices who did not vote for this change. And I also want to say that you should be voted for America's priest. And I think even the priest across America would also vote for you because you have brought so many of us parishioners to this moment through the prayer of the Family Rosary Across America.
Let me tell you, Jenny, Father Rocky's not here in studio with us right now, but I have a feeling he's probably listening as he's on his way to his next appointment. So I hope he hears what you're saying. And I think you're right. Okay. I mean, think about what it was like, Jenny, for the last couple of years, especially during the depths of COVID, when so many, most if not all of our parishes were shuttered and Relevant Radio was kind of like America's parish. We were open 24/7. And, you know, obviously things were really different then, and nobody's to blame, but we can thank God in his providence that Relevant Radio could still function like a parish, so to speak. Yeah. And that was under the leadership of Father Rocky, you know, Family Rosary Across America, and Drew with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, as he's done for so long at 3 p.m., and all the other wonderful things that God has blessed his people with through Relevant Radio. I'm with you. We should rejoice and thank God for that.
If I could say one more thing, Patrick, okay?
Sure.
It's just a blessing that everybody knows. And I just want to say, may the Lord bless Father Rocky, protect Father Rocky, keep Father Rocky from all evil, and bring Father Rocky to life everlasting, because he has helped us a lot. And I know, just not for the issue of abortion, but for so many people who turn in at night to listen to him. Sometimes that's the last thing that I listen to, you know, as far as my faith is concerned.
Right.
And I sleep very well with that, and I look forward to it every evening. So God bless Father Rocky and Relevant Radio for all you do and for bringing us this great news today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you very much. I think many people would concur with you on that. Thank you. Let's go now to Nieve, in Long Island. Good morning, Nieve.
Good morning, Patrick. I'm just calling in with so much joy in my heart. 2 years ago, my husband and I were, he caught me praying the memorare with you guys.
And he caught you?
I told him.
As if you were doing something wrong.
I used to pray in secrecy. And I was afraid to pray in public. God has helped me not be afraid anymore. But mm-hmm. I told him I was praying with you guys because we're praying for the end of abortion. And he said, that'll never happen. And the other thing is that my husband and I have been feeling the calling, mostly my husband, in the last few years, and me most recently, now that we have grown children, mm-hmm. That perhaps we can open our homes for foster care, for adoption. And I think that is God's calling, because we need more people. And I heard you say, and I decided I had to call, because that's what I've been feeling in my heart. So I ask all the listeners to please pray for couples like my husband and I, who are practicing Catholic. I go to Mass daily, and I pray. I just finished the Circle of Jericho, a novena to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, with a group of people that I pray with. There's so many people praying, and God has answered and heard our prayers. So I am overjoyed.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I will include that intention in my prayers. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. And God bless you and your husband. May God grant you many happy years together. Thank you. Let's go to Lupe now in Los Angeles. Good morning, Lupe.
Good morning, Patrick. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. Did you hear the great news about Roe versus Wade
overturned
today? Isn't that amazing?
Yes. I'm thrilled. I really think that it was long coming. It should have happened a long time ago.
Indeed.
I really think that Roe versus Wade has been misinforming the public. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. So I'm really, really glad that you know, that's changed.
Yes.
I had a question.
Sure.
I have a friend who wants to do her first communion and her confirmation. She never got a chance when she was young. And she is baptized. So we are.
You say she is or is not?
You know,
she is or is not baptized?
She is.
Okay.
She is baptized. So we're going through her parish, you know, and going through the steps, you know, to find out what she needs to do. But I want to go to confession, and she wants to come with me. So my question is, can she confess, or does she have to wait until she does her first communion?
Well, and how old is your friend? She's a grown woman, I presume, right?
Yes,
okay.
We're older.
Okay. Yeah, believe me, last thing I'm going to do is ask you how old you are. But I understand. So in her case, see, if she was baptized but never received her other sacraments like confirmation and the first Holy mm-hmm. Eucharist, I presume she's never made her first Holy Communion, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So she would need to undertake some preparation. And now she could go to confession. She has the ability to do so because she has received the sacrament of baptism. So she has now the sacramental aptitude, if we can use that term, to go to confession. But she really should get some formation in the faith before she does this, so that she understands the faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sacraments, what they do, and so on. So my advice would be, before she goes to confession, that she should go to a local parish in your area and go to the RCIA program. And if she would like to come, if she'd like to go to confession sooner than that, she doesn't need to be received into the Catholic Church in any formal sense, because she was baptized into the Catholic faith as a child, presumably. So she could even just talk to the parish priest and say, I would like to begin receiving my sacraments. I'd like to make receive my sacraments of initiation. So confirmation, the Holy Eucharist. Before she did so, she would first receive the sacrament of confession. But that's going to require a little bit of preparation. So the parish priest might say, okay, well, you can come and meet with me for an hour a week for the next 4 weeks, and we'll go through all of the pertinent things, and then I can hear your confession. Or he may say, why don't you go into the RCIA program and be in that program for a few months so you can really get where you need to be, and then you can begin receiving the sacraments. I personally, if I were the priest, I wouldn't delay or put the brakes on this for any longer than necessary. But it is necessary that she learn enough about her Catholic faith so that she can embrace it properly and live it properly. So that would be my advice for her to do that.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. And you can be a great example to her, Lupe, of a faithful, devout Catholic friend. Would be like a light shining for her, and that will help her. So I recommend that. Thank you very much. We are going to start our next hour, hour three, hard to believe, in just a few moments. This is a big day today. We're going to talk more about the overturning of Roe versus Wade. It happened today.